5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Glad you could be with us here today. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a fun show. Looking into this, we've got Broncos-Chiefs this weekend. Last time, do you remember that? Michael, you're diehard. Last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs was Thursday, September 17th, 2015. That was, of course, the same year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl. That was a strange year. The losing began that year, though. The losing to the Chiefs began that year. Because you'll remember, that was the last regular season game, save for the San Diego game. That was the last regular season game that Peyton Manning would start in for the Denver Broncos. That was the last one. The last regular season. Kind of weird, right? That's kind of a, I don't know, signifies something. November 15th, 2015 was the last regular season game Peyton Manning started, and it was a loss.
And he didn't even win that game.
And it was a loss, is what I just said, 29-13. Thank you for that, though. That was very observant.
Like the greatest defensive play I've ever seen. Maybe not ever, but
What
top
are you
10.
Saying? What was the greatest defensive play you've ever seen?
Well, the strip fumble.
In the Kansas City game?
At the end of the game.
In the Kansas City game?
Yeah.
Man, that's a weird, great memory that you have.
Yeah, I just remember at the end of the game.
They lost 29-13. Osweiler came in. The crowd kind of booed Manning, if you remember that.
No, I'm talking about the win.
Yeah, dude, you're in a different path right now. We're talking about Thursday, November 15th, the final game that Peyton Manning started as a Denver Bronco, the final regular season game. That's where we're going with this. You're taking us off to some different world right now.
Oh, I'm thinking about the time the Broncos beat the Chiefs.
Okay, we're going to this. We're going here. Stay along with me on this journey today. That was a significant game because Brock Osweiler comes in. I thought you were talking about strip fumble in that game. I was like, they lost by two scores, dude. It was more than a strip fumble that cost them the game in that one. Osweiler comes in. Manning obviously complaining of a messed up heel. And then the crowd's like kind of, I don't want to say the boo birds were in full effect, but they were there. They were upset because the offense couldn't do anything. Denver loses that game. That was only, get this, dude, it was only their second loss because they lost two in a row after that. They lost to the Colts the week before. Then they lost to the Chiefs. So they're sitting at 7-2. And that is when the Brock Osweiler era began, was the Chiefs game. So there's a lot of things that kind of point back to that. You know, obviously they went on and win the year, but that was the Alex Smith year. And the Chiefs were... kind of a okay team that year. I think they were trying to think of a record that year. I'm not sure what it was. They weren't a playoff team that year, were they? I don't think so. That was Alex Smith, and that was their last kind of hurrah. And then you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes comes in later. They were good. That's my bad. They were 11-5, and they lost in the playoffs early. No, they lost to New England. But it's very interesting that we kind of go back to that Chiefs thing, and so many different things happen at that point. That was the last, and then, of course, the Chiefs have won every game since. You know, 2016 was a better year for they were 9-7, no playoffs. That's when the no playoffs began. But they lost to the Chiefs both times that year. That was with Trevor Siemian. They lost in overtime in the first game. They lost 33-10 on Christmas Day. And, you know, you could argue that if you win one of those games, you're in the playoffs. So the losing began with Peyton Manning going out, which is interesting. Continued the next year with Trevor Siemian. Then they lose. The next year with 2017 was the Vance Joseph year. They lost to the Chiefs 29-19. Trevor Siemian was the quarterback in that one. And then Paxton Lynch got his chance to go up against the Chiefs. And they lost 27-24, 5-11. Then fast forward to 2018, That was Case Keenum. Boy, it's really depressing looking through all these quarterbacks. They lost to the Chiefs 27-23. Vance Joseph's still there. Then they lost later on in the season to the Chiefs 30-23 with Case Keenum. Vance Joseph last year. Enter Vic Fangio. Would it change for the Broncos with the Chiefs? Nope. This time it was Joe Flacco. Look at that. It was Manning, Osweiler, Simeon, Paxton Lynch, then Keenum, now Flacco. They lost 30-6 in one game, and 23-3. That was Drew Lock. That was the one game he lost that year that he came in. They lost bad. It was a snowy game, and that was when Lock kind of probably that was the precursor to what Lock would look like the next year. Fast forward to COVID year. They lost 43-16 with Drew Lock as the starter and 22-16. Is it going to change with Bridgewater? You've had a new quarterback every year, except for Simeon. Simeon was the one who got the Chiefs like three times. None of these quarterbacks have seen the Chiefs more than twice, save for Trevor Siemian. That's nuts. Osweiler saw them once as a starter. Saw them one and a half times, I guess, if you want to go that route. Once as a starter. Trevor Siemian saw them three times as a starter. Paxton Lynch saw them one time as a starter. Case Keenum saw him twice. And then Joe Flacco saw him once. Drew Lock saw him three times. And we're going to see Teddy Bridgewater get his shot at this Chiefs team. And don't listen, Patrick Mahomes has been good, but what our boy Zach Stevens talked about yesterday is the absolute truth. The Kansas City Chiefs defense has been good. They struggled mightily early in the season. But look at the scores in their last four wins, including beating the Packers and the Cowboys. They allowed 17 to New York. They allowed 7 to the Packers, which, okay, no Rodgers. They allowed 14 to the Raiders. They allowed 9 to the Cowboys. And, of course, they're coming off their bye week. Their defense has averaged allowing 11, like a little over 11 points per game. So, suddenly, the defense is a force to be reckoned with. It's a complete football team right now. I don't know that they're in their Super Bowl form that we all thought they'd be at this point, but they're getting better. I mean, you have a full cast of guys making plays. Tyreek Hill making plays. Travis Kelce making plays. Clyde Edwards-Helaire making plays. Last week, he had 63 yards and a touchdown on top of another 13 yards receiving. I feared this going forward with the Chiefs. I thought, oh boy, they're going to probably start clicking right around the time the Broncos get set to take on the Chiefs. And here they are. Weld County Swami texting in, fire Adazio, it's Wednesday. You know, that Weld County Swami must be listening to NoCo now. That would be so Tanner. Fire him one day before his buyout goes down by $2 million. I mean, seriously. The Adazio thing, I know we're talking Broncos here. But are we going to see the end of Adazio tomorrow? Boy, if Twitter is an indication, Joe Parker needs to be looking at this very seriously, very closely. You have to weigh it. What are, you know, outweigh the cost of, I mean, it looks like nobody's going to go to games next year. You might fill the student section because it's something to do, but if Twitter is any real indication, which I've been told it's not real life, but I'm sure if you say you're not going to go to a game, I don't know why you would lie about that. Is it an empty threat? Going to be interesting. Star Fox texting in. He doesn't like that nickname we gave him, by the way. Chiefs will have the good luck charm this weekend with the Dixon family at Arrowhead. We got Dixon's going. The arch nemesis of the show is going to Arrowhead Stadium this weekend. Absolutely nuts. Oh my goodness, Dixon's there. He is the arch. No, there it is. They should play that music when he walks in to the stadium. Where is Dixon, by the way? I figured we'd have the trash talk going. The Broncos are 9.5-point dogs in this one. it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a hell of a lot for Denver to win this game. And like I said, this Chiefs defense is looking good offensively. The line is starting to click. However, I was right about that. I mean, Mahomes still got sacked three times. Mahomes still doesn't look nearly as good as he looked the first few years in the league. He has come back down to earth a little bit. Still a special player. But he hasn't been as good these last few years. Or last few games, excuse me. Start of the season, he looked way off. I mean, you go back to the Super Bowl, he looked off. And that's, you know, starting to get better. But he still looks human. He looks human right now. Nobody's really taken over the quarterback race as far as MVP. And that's what's kind of interesting to see. However, doesn't it feel like, I mean, I'm as hopeful as the next guy that the Broncos can get their win number 7 this weekend. But doesn't it seem like or feel like this is going to be a coming out party for Patrick Mahomes where he just goes crazy? I mean, he's had a lot of success against the Broncos. Never lost to the Broncos. It's a depressing stat. Mahomes has never lost to the Broncos. 16 minutes after the hour. Got a lot to get to today. We got the David Roddy Show coming up at 1 o'clock. They're back at it tonight. See if they can get to 8-0. That would be a hell of a start for this Rams team. They're 7-0. They've got Little Rock, the Little Rock Trojans tonight. They are favored by 20.5 points. They cannot overlook this team, though, because they have St. Mary's this weekend. But if you're favored by 20.5, that's a hell of a spread. That is a hell of a spread. So we're going to talk to David Roddy about that and the big weekend coming up for CSU. Go grab this one. Get 8 early. And, boy, things just keep getting better for the Rams. We're going to talk a little bit with David about the Saturday game against the Bears. Hell of a game. The Rams found a way to get it done. So we'll talk to him. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, talking about CU tonight against UCLA. That's a huge game. The Buffs are 6-1. Doesn't feel like it, but they are 6-1 going up against top 5 team in the country in UCLA. Mark's there, so we'll talk to him about it. A lot to talk about. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is up. And it's about Trey McBride. Is Trey McBride the best to ever do it for Colorado State football? Is he the best football player? And I'm not, listen, you can talk about success, wins, losses. He didn't have it. But everything else he did, he has the makeup of being a first-round pick for sure. He's getting national attention like crazy. Is he the best to ever do it for Colorado State? Go vote at theholeshow.com. And that's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. 86% of the Hooligans say no, that Trey McBride is not. Is it Porter? Is it Joey Porter? Now, how do you want to be fair on this? Because we haven't seen him in the NFL yet. I don't think you can judge that later, the greatest Ram of all time. But right now, judging on what they did when they were a Colorado State Ram, is Trey McBride the greatest? You go vote. A lot of people saying no, but some, you got a small percentage saying yes. 18 minutes after the hour. No Limit Collectibles is where you can buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. I'm telling you, go get a Patrick Surtain rookie card. Javonte Williams rookie card. Get that Nikola Jokic signage to put in the man cave or the office. Love that place. They're in Greeley now. They're in the same shopping area, the same little block as Cables. So stop by. Tell them we heard it. Check out the new place. Tell them you heard about them right here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're talking about a big night locally on TV tonight. Whew, what are you watching? What are you focusing on? We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, guy. With Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Touchdown. That was the no-fly zone defense. You remember that defense? how good they were that year. They won so many games because of their defense. Bradley Roby was the third defensive back, and we all thought, man, he could easily be a one or two. He never really went on to be a one or two, a good one anyway, but he was sensational alongside Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib. But yeah, you're right. That was the last time the Broncos beat them was 2015. They win 31-24 over the Chiefs on a Thursday night football game.
I choose prime to remember time. That.
Prime time. So last time they beat them was on prime time.
I choose to remember that game and forget all the others.
They haven't beat them since. So look at that game. Let's talk about how different things were between both teams, the Broncos and the Chiefs. The Broncos had Peyton Manning, who went 26 of 45, 256 yards, three touchdowns and one pick. That was actually one of his better games that regular season. Let's face it, he didn't have many good games that year. His head was still great, using his head to call plays, but he wasn't that great. He went up against Alex Smith. Alex Smith was 16 of 25, 191 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, sacked four times. He was awful that game. The Broncos got after him. Can you, you know what? We should have some fun with this. Should we do some trivia with this?
We could do some trivia.
I got a $20 gift certificate to the GOAT, the best sports bar you're ever going to go to. The best one around. Trust me. Guy won, a couple of people have won lately, and they're like from out of town, from out of Greeley. So the write the hotline down, 970-353-1310. What should I do here? I'm trying to think how I want to do this. Because I was going to ask, who were the two running backs for the Broncos that actually got carries in that game, in that season? Who were the two running backs? I'll bet we don't get anybody that gets this. Unless you Google it. So I got a 20. Do you know who it is?
Trying to remember.
Don't say it. I'll text you the answer if we get a caller on this. A $20 gift certificate to the GOAT is up for grabs to the first caller that can tell me who the two running backs were that last win the Broncos had over the Chiefs.
I can remember one of them because I was a big fan.
So first one to get it right, 970-353-1310. There were two running backs that actually got carries in this game. Emmanuel Sanders got a carry in this one, but that was a reverse. One carry for 0 yards. Two other running backs, though. That was their running back core that year. One was a kind of a stockier guy, and one was a little guy. So first caller to get that right gets a $20 gift certificate to the GOAT in Greeley. 970-353-1310. The Chiefs on their side was Jamal Charles. Jamal had a couple of games with the Broncos. That was when Charles was great. Remember? That was around the time. I mean, he had 21 carries, 125 yards in that game.
If I had called in, I would have been right.
Oh, you Googled it? You're doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
The Broncos receiving core was, I mean, look at those. That was a hell of a, I mean, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, they each had 8 catches in that game. Thomas had 116 yards. Sanders had 87 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Remember Jordan Norwood?
Yeah.
How excited. I was so excited about him, but he never really went anywhere.
We thought he was going to be good. Remember Virgil Green? They re-signed Virgil thinking he was going to be good. He never really panned out for Denver.
And then he went to San Diego. Boo.
So was that Travis Kelce's rookie year then? Was 2015?
That might have been.
Because he had 4 catches for 58 yards. He was already a fixture in that offense. I think that was his rookie year.
I hate that guy.
Jamal Charles had 2 fumbles. Look at the games, though. Like DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller both had a sack in that game. Antonio Smith, Malik Jackson had sacks in that game. That was that defense, man. Danny Trevathan, David Bruton, DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller, Darian Stewart, Chris Harris Jr., T.J. Ward, Malik Jackson, Aqib Talib, Corey Nelson. Yes.
I feel he would left.
Sylvester Williams took his spot. Mitch was there when they went to the Seattle Super Bowl, but he was there the year after, and then he did not go to the 2015 Super Bowl. Shaq Barrett was on this roster still. Oh, Miss Shaq. Benny Fowler, Todd Davis, Bradley Roby. Yes, Michael.
I have an answer to one of your questions. Travis Kelce was a rookie in 2009.
What?
With the Bungles. He was with the Bungles for 4 years.
How long has Kelce been in the league? He's been in the league forever.
Yeah.
How long was he with the Bengals?
For 4 years.
He was with the Bengals for 4 years.
Yeah.
So this was just his fifth year?
Yes.
Why does it seem like Kelce is just like grown with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill?
I don't know. He finally blossomed.
Well, his first year with the Broncos was 2005, or with the Chiefs, excuse me. We could dream. His first year with the Chiefs was 2015. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break pretty soon. We got to catch up with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. He is already in L.A., getting set for a big one in the Pac-12 tonight, going up against UCLA, top five team in the country. But we need to get a break really quick here because we need to catch up with him. 30 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, basketball in the area has been a blast so far. We got an undefeated team. We got a 6-1 team. We got a team that the wins aren't showing themselves just yet, but I think for the UNC Bears, they will start coming. A good basketball team there. So CU, CSU, UNC, three basketball teams we talk about on the show regularly. Man, so far, so good. The Buffs have a huge test tonight coming up against UCLA, top five in the country. And Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, is there. Mark, my friend, how are you?
Well, I'm in Los Angeles, you know, so it's not Colorado, let's put it that way. But if you've got to go to L.A., I guess it's, you know, appropriate that we're here to do a game with the UCLA. So enjoying it and getting ready for a big ball game tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the Buffs have kind of quietly put together a 6-1 record. The start of the season has just been absolutely nuts for so many of the teams that we're talking about, Mark. I mean, games every other night, tournament play. Now you're kind of starting to wind down a little bit where it's more of a regular season type feel. But still, Wednesday night basketball is kind of rare. And again, this test early on is a big one for the Buffs.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, UCLA is hands down the favorite, obviously, in the Pac-12, being a Final Four team from a year ago. And they've got everybody back from that team. Jaime Jaquez and Johnny Juzang are kind of the marquee guys on that team. But they're a very good basketball team. I mean, they're experienced. They've played in big games. They're at home tonight. And so this will be a great challenge for a very young Colorado basketball team that's trying to find itself and has played, you know, relatively well at times this season.
Well, you said this a couple of weeks ago, Mark, before Thanksgiving, I believe. You know, you said, hey, this team doesn't know what they don't know yet. Losing is a great and valuable lesson for young teams. But so far, the Buffs, the only one loss. They haven't had a lot of that learning as far as what happens when you get those L's.
Well, they played with fire, though, far too many times this season. Tad Boyle will tell you that. I mean, this team, maybe I said it on your show, I don't remember, but, you know, they're young and dumb enough to let themselves get behind early in ball games, and they're very talented and good enough to come back and win a lot of ball games. Well, you can do that on many nights. You can't do that on the road against the top five team in the country, and they've got to figure that out. Even if you go back to Sunday's victory over Stanford, the way that Colorado came out, dug themselves an early hole. They were down 21-10 at one point with about 11 and a half minutes left in the first half. Then they went on a 27-11 run and were up by five. But, you know, coming out of the locker room, Stanford, which is a very good-looking basketball team, by the way, had a 9-0 run to start the second half. And so this team's got to figure that out. They can't allow that to happen, because especially when you're playing a team, you know, with the quality that you're going to be looking at tonight. And, you know, Brady, you look at it, they've got number 5 tonight. This weekend they've got number 13, 10. Not long after that they've got number 8, Kansas, coming to town. And so they've got some big-time tests here, and they got to start to grow up rather quickly here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you said it, man. I mean, you look at the schedule, and like you said, Stanford was no slouch. So, I mean, a tough string of games for this Buffs team, and we'll see, do they come out much stronger on the other side? And you talked about the spread. I think UCLA's heavy favorites, 13.5 points in this one, but who knows? I mean, like you said, this Buffs team, is it fair to say they've kind of surprised people so far, or did you kind of expect this to start the season?
No, I'm not shocked that they're 6-1 at this point, team. This point in time, because when you stack a couple of top 20 recruiting classes on top of each other, the way this team is constituted, we're having the leadership they've got from a guy like Evan Batty, who's playing fantastic basketball right now, I thought they would be about 6-1 coming into this stretch of games. So I'm not shocked by this. I think they're, you know, when you look at the talent on this team with what they've got from Batty inside, the point guard play is evolving, but it's pretty darn good. KJ Simpson was just named the Pac-12 Freshman of the Week. I mean, I think he'll eventually kind of take the reins as the point guard. You know, Keyshawn Bartholomew's done a nice job leading scoring the team at about 15 per contest, but, you know, he's more of a scoring guy than he is really a distributor. What Jabari Walker and Tristan De Silva are on the wings, what Nick Clifford has meant coming off the bench. I mean, it's a good looking basketball team now. Make no mistake about it. And so, I'm hopeful in a game like this, you know, tonight. Tad Boyle the other day in our postgame said, hey, we're going to UCLA playing on house money. And I think that's very true of the young basketball team. But let's see what they're made of. Let's get a taste of this tonight and teach those young guys, okay, well, you're going to play really big boy basketball. This is what it's all about. So they're going to get a very good test tonight.
How important is Evan Batty? Obviously, he's the stats he's filling up, and I think he was one of the all-tourney guys in the Paradise Jam too, right, Mark? And so, I mean, it seems like he's a grandpa on this team, though, compared to the rest.
Yeah, well, without question. But he is, you know, singularly important, I think, because of what he brings on the court and then the guy that he is off the court. And, you know, Bus fans, your Rams fans and Bears fans may not fully understand what he means within the program. But, I mean, he's about the most loved guy that I've been around a long time in college athletics. You know, we used to call Spencer Dinwiddie the mayor. We've come to calling Batty the governor. I mean, he's just even bigger than that. And he's beloved. He's a great player. He's exactly what college athletics is supposed to be about. Loves his time on campus. I mean, he's been everything you want a college athlete. And so he's supremely important to this very young team right now, undoubtedly. And he's going to have to play very big tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. You need guys like him to be at their absolute best. As you said, as this core around him continues to grow. Mark, let's switch gears, talk a little about the football side of things. Some staff news hit us over the weekend or early this week on the football side of things.
Yeah, it came out on Sunday, and Darren Cheverini, the longtime Buff, I mean, his former Buff player, been on the staff now for 6 years under three different coaches, and it was the offensive coordinator. They let him go, and I wasn't shocked by that, and I did a podcast just here a half hour ago with somebody, and they said, you know, is he a scapegoat? And I said, well, it's not fair to say he's a scapegoat, but I think when you look at what that offense, you know, did or didn't do this season, there's plenty of areas that are contributing factors. Now, when you're the offensive coordinator, you've got to wear that mantle. You got to wear it. If the offense doesn't produce, you've got to be the guy that's going to take the bulk of the responsibility of that. Now, is he the only one? Certainly not. But that's simply the way that the industry works. I mean, the quarterback play wasn't what they needed. The offensive line play wasn't what they needed. You know, various things throughout that. And so, you know, there's a lot of areas where they need improvements. And, you know, they'll go out and find a new offensive coordinator now. And obviously, they know a defensive offensive line coach, which they fired here about 4 weeks ago. And so there'll be changes in that side of the ball, and they've just got to flat out be better. You can't be 129th in the country out of 130 teams in total offense and expect there not to be changes. And then, so hence, there have been.
What is the quarterback position going to look like next season, Mark?
Good question. You know, JT Shrout's obviously going to be back. Brandon Lewis is going to be back. They've got a young player coming in whose dad played in the NFL, and so you got an addition there. You got Drew Carter coming back. You know, I say that all with caveats because of the way the transfer portal works.
Right.
Who knows if somebody gets itchy and wants to make a jump? You know, we've already seen about a handful of players have decided to do that for Colorado. And you know, I've been cautioning CU fans, don't overreact when you see a guy jump into the portal. Now, if it would have been a year ago and Nate Landman jumps in the portal, then you panic because you're losing a great player. Right now, you're losing guys that have been untested, and we're still trying to figure out what they're all about. And that's the new world of college athletics we're in right now. I would say, I think it's safe to say that most teams in America will have probably somewhere between, I'm going to guess, 8 to 15 guys jump in the portal virtually every year until this thing starts to settle down a little bit. That's just part of where we're at right now. So, you know, when you see a name in there, and I've seen the names everyone else has, Ashon Clayton and Tristan Oliver and guys like that, you know, don't panic. This is part of the new age of college football right now, and it's going to be part of it. And then conversely, you know, teams have got to go. Not only do they have signing day coming up on December 15th, but now Carl, who spent a long time in the NFL and dealt with free agents, he understands what that's all about. And you've got that aspect going in college athletics where you look out and say, okay, who's out there? And can we plug a few holes with guys that are in the transfer portal? So that's just part of what this game's all about now.
Yeah, you know what the transfer portal kind of reminds me of? You know when you're on the interstate in Denver and it's just absolutely packed and you keep switching lanes, you switch over to that lane and then the left lane starts rolling. You go over to the left lane, then the right lane starts rolling. I think players are going to start looking at the transfer portal like that, saying, you know, there's been so many cases of guys leaving and then they leave and then they, who knows, they don't get the playing time they thought, and then a guy gets hurt on the old team or something,
right.
they could have had a lot of playing time. I'm looking CU, CSU. They both had quarterback situations this year where if guys would have stuck around, who knows, maybe they get their opportunities.
Exactly right. And I just saw a tweet yesterday where somebody put out there was something like 8,500 names in a portal already. Okay, there were, I think, something like 5,000 of them were scholarship guys. And the speculation was there were going to be fewer slots out there than there were players in the portal when it's all said and done. And you're going to find a lot of kids are going to, and there are guys from last year that did that. Jumped in the portal, never got picked up. You walked away from a scholarship. Nobody wanted you, and now you're on the outside looking in. And so at some point, the reality of this is going to start to set in, and guys are going to start understanding, okay, I just can't jump. You know, you and I have talked about that before, Brady, about this idea that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And I like, you know, unless there's something really bad going on, you know, unethical stuff or scandals within the program, if it's just, you know what, I want more playing time, well, then earn more playing time. And there is a possibility to do that, unless you're comfortable moving down to a different level. And that's entirely up to you. But these guys that think, okay, I'm going to leave Colorado and other Power 5 schools going to come swooping in and grab me right away, that's not always the reality of this thing. And I think guys are going to start to figure that out.
It's a big risk, right? I mean, for some great players, it might be a little less of a risk, but it's still a risk. And you're taking a chance that somebody's going to come swoop you up when you're in that portal. And then you're also taking the chance that you're going to fit in with that new program.
Well, without question. Okay, so for example, we've seen what's going on with the coaching deal. So Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma puts his name in the portal. He's going to get picked up. Make no mistake about it. But when you're a guy that is a, you know, backup or a third string guy on a college football team, you haven't made a name for yourself. Nobody, you know, there might be a coach or two out there that maybe recruited you coming out of high school, and you might have a relationship or you can rekindle a relationship. But then you got to hope that team is in the need of the position that you play. And so you got to be real careful about that. I told my son one time years ago when he quit his job, I said, you know, you don't quit your job until you have a job. It's easier to find a job when you got a job. Don't cut the cord there. I'm leaving, and I'm leaving my scholarship behind, and all of a sudden you look out there and there's not much demand for you, and you find yourself in a real tough situation.
Yeah, no question about it, Mark. It's fascinating, not necessarily in a positive or negative way, but it is fascinating. It's hard to keep track of, but you're right. Fans got to be cautioned a little bit. Yeah, there's going to be guys that transfer because they hate the head coach, but there's also going to be guys that are just, hey, this is the world we're in. It's an impatient world. They're going to be entering it just to see if there's something a little bit better out there.
Well, without question. And you know, what I like to do with young guys like that all of a sudden decide, okay, I'm jumping right away. Look at Carson Wells. Carson Wells was not an impact player for the Colorado Buffaloes his first couple of years and grew into a great player his junior and senior seasons. Has been outstanding the last 2 years. There's a guy that put the work in, probably wasn't terribly happy all the time because he wouldn't get a lot of snaps his first couple of years, but put the work in and developed into a player who turned out to be an impact guy, who is one of the leaders in America in tackles for a loss the last 2 years, and has got a shot at the NFL. You know, so you that old line I use all the time, right? First you learn, then you drop the L, and that applies to a lot of different things in life. And so Carson's a great example of that, about guys having a little bit of stick-to-itiveness and perseverance and saying, okay, I got to work and earn this when it's all said and done, instead of just jumping because I'm not getting the snaps right now as a freshman. I want more snaps. I got to go someplace else. Well, hold on and really evaluate that. Are you ready for those snaps? Have you developed into the kind of player that you have to be to get those kind of snaps? And so I think that kind of lesson is going to be learned out there. And so for some guys, it's going to be a school of hard knocks you're going to go to when they learn that lesson.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. Mark, you didn't think we'd let you go before mentioning the mullet, did you? I mean, we have to talk about that. I saw it on Twitter. I tweeted it. I said my respect factor just went way the heck up.
Well, that was back in my long-haired maggot-infested disc jockey days. I was doing a show in Denver yesterday, and they asked me somehow it came up. I don't remember how. And I said, oh, I've got photos of that. And like, yeah, you got to tweet that out. So, And you know, the one you saw there, and it was rather lengthy, as you can attest to, was not even nearly what it was. About a year and a half after that, I finally cut that thing. So it was even grander and more glorious when I felt that thing off than it was in that picture.
Do you ever think about bringing that thing back?
You know, it's been interesting since I got out there yesterday. I've got a bunch of folks go, dude, you got to bring that thing back. I'm not sure that would really play anymore. You know, at my age, I don't think that's quite the same deal, but... you know what? Maybe for charity sometime. Maybe I'd think about it.
I think it's great. I love it, man. Mark, appreciate you as always. I know you're not in Colorado, but hey, you got to. Hopefully, this turns out to be a good game. I know the Bruins are 13.5-point favorites, but who the heck knows? It's college basketball.
You know, there's a reason we play these games, right? And we'll see what happens tonight.
All right, my friend. We'll be tuning in. What time does coverage get going for you guys?
7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 Mountain Time tip-off on the Colorado Basketball Network. And you can also join us on the Varsity Network app if you want to dial that up. That's always a good way to listen to college athletics as well.
Yeah, I downloaded a couple weeks ago. I love it.
There you go.
Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, that's the voice of the Buffs. He's in L.A. He's ready to go. 7:30 tonight. That's part of the local madness going on. You got Avs, Nuggets, Buffs, Rams, oh my. 50 minutes after the hour short break, we'll wrap up hour number one. We got the David Roddy Show coming up at 1 o'clock. The Rams back in action tonight against a team that they should win. But Saturday, whoo, that's going to be a fun one. We'll be right back.
Legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man Brady Hall and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Tell you about Rev Chiropractic. Popped in there today. Popped in there today to see, actually, Dr. Tyler was working on my back today, and I was pretty stiff before going in today. And I normally say it's a slow process, and it's, you know, it's going to take some time, and it does. But I went in today, and my neck was killing me. Turning left was driving me crazy. My mobility was off. And he took one of those little devices and just started working on the shoulder, working on the neck. And as soon as I got done, like I just now noticing it, talking about it, no stiffness at all. I'm feeling great. I'm turning my neck full rotation, not all the way around. Can't do that yet. But do appreciate it, man. I love Rev Chiropractic. They're in Greeley. They're off of 35th Avenue, the same shopping center as Home Depot. Okay, Michael, what is this triumphant stat that you must share with us about the Broncos Chiefs history?
Well, I was also at Rev Chiropractic this morning. You didn't see me because I was there early. But so the Chiefs
dodged that bullet.
What?
I dodged that bullet. I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
well,
me.
it was an early morning one. So
I shouldn't have said
quite
that.
Grumpy.
That was very mean. That was very mean. Give me your stat.
So the Chiefs own the Broncos, unfortunately, 67-55. But if you take the last eleven games plus the first 28 games out, the Broncos own the Chiefs 51-31. So yes, they have the overall, but you take a look at it, the first 14 years, the Broncos were not very good. So really, the Broncos own the Chiefs.
I feel like you're reaching a little bit.
No. The Broncos were not very good the first few.
Well, yeah, but...
And you know what?
But that doesn't matter. What matters, and I know you don't want to hear this, none of that matters except for 11. 11 is what matters. 11 straight wins by the Chiefs. Does it end on Sunday? Don't answer that. I know what you're going to say.
Yes.
The Broncos are 9.5-point dogs in this one. I mean, you got to have everything go right. Javonte Williams got to be great. No stupid penalties taken away. Great plays. Teddy Bridgewater has to be sharp. And I'm saying good. Like, Teddy can't just be Teddy, average Teddy, for 90% of the game and then make a play late. He's got to be good in this game. It's his job. He earned it. Locke is completely out of the picture now after that interception. And I agree. I get it. I'm done. I've closed the book. I've moved on with my life, finally. But I need something better from you, Teddy. If you want to be a Bronco next year, which the odds are not very good that you will be, you got to go lights out in the most important game of the Broncos' history in the last 5 years. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up. The David Roddy Show coming up next.